Okay, thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that. Well, we got the fighting few here. We could hold out on a kitchen, maybe. There's enough of us to do that. Okay. Let's see. For us, prayer. We need to continue to be in prayer for Terry Hallett, lost her mother, and getting ready for the service and all. And Judith Young's parents, the couple that were beat up in their home, and they're both in their 80s. Christine, her mother, was moved today from the regular type of the hospital to a rehab part of the hospital. Okay. And so let's continue to be in prayer for Christine that this will all work to improvement of her health and strength and stability. Now her dad, Harold, is not doing so as well. He's going to have a surgery tomorrow where they're going to go up and do some work on his nose. He's apparently, from being beat up, it interferes with the breathing. And so they've got to go in and do some surgery on his nose. So let's please be in prayer for the surgeon that will do the surgery. And for Harold as he comes out of that. And he's an unreal guy. I can only imagine what happened when those guys were in there starting to beat up on his wife. He apparently took some action. Huh? Cowards. So we need to be in prayer for Christine and Harold. And need to be in prayer for Terry. Nancy Becker got some fairly good news. It isn't improving her physical hurting and pain and disruption, but they've eliminated a lot of things with the various tests that she's had. The MRI is just, everything came out okay. So we need to continue to pray for Nancy that these things will bring about getting closer to what they can do to help her. And so please be in prayer for Nancy and Don Becker. They may be here sometime in April to visit with us, so that'll be fun. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir.
I talked to Vic this evening, and his granddaughter Alicia and husband Robert need prayer.
Okay.
Financial issues that they need.
With the daughter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Granddaughter. Alicia and her husband Robert.
Okay. And how's Vic doing?
He's doing. He says okay. He feels better.
Okay. Not good, but better. Okay. I understand that. And so let's see. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Eve, I don't want anything to be wrong, but I'm so used to praying for you. But you're doing okay, huh?
I'm doing fine. The only reason I wasn't here Sunday is that my grandchildren stayed with me Saturday night.
That'll do it. That'll do it. I understand totally. Even though I'm not a grandpa, I understand. I do understand. God's plan there works real good. Grandparents can hand them back.
And, Sometimes not soon enough.
Oh, Judith teaches her grandchildren all the time. And they're learning a lot. And so, but yeah. See, what a blessing it is your children are all moved away, Jim. You have them, but they're all away. Yes.
Speaking of that, a friend was telling Jim, where somebody says, "Do you know where your children are tonight?" And he said, "Yes."
25 and 123.
Yeah, I know right where they are, doggone it.
Yeah, I know where they are.
Yeah. Well, always remember, when you love something and you let it go, if it comes back and stays, it's probably your children. Okay. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our study tonight and just continue on in our study. We haven't been here in 2 or 3 weeks, so we need to get going here. All right, let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, what a gracious God you are, in that you have let us know so much about the future, especially things that involve us, maybe not directly, but just let us know what's going to happen in history. You let us know about the rapture of the church. You let us know about ourselves when we die. You let us know about how horrible the tribulation will be. You've let us know about the second return, the return of your Son, and the things that go on in the millennium. And Heavenly Father, you've let us know about our rapture and being resurrected off the ground, out from under the ground, and taken up above the ground, and the heavenly worship that we will involve ourselves in, and then the judgment seat of Christ, and then the marriage of the Lamb. And so, Father, and the bridegroom with the bride, which is the church, we thank you so much, Father. And now as we continue this study, pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to know. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. One thing I learned at the pre-trib rapture conference that I went to earlier in December, way back last year, and things that God gave us to give us courage and strength. It just is amazing how we divide on it. Not that they fought, but just some people have their ideal of when this happened and when that happened. And that I guess everyone agreed that the rapture occurred before the tribulation. But just when the events occur and where they occur and where the six seals occur and where the trumpets occur and where the bowl judgments occur and where the marriage is going to occur, where the marriage supper is going to occur. And you know, I hate to be this way about it and not so scholarly. I don't care when it is, just as long as we're invited to the supper. Just call me for the supper, Lord. And do what? Just don't be late. There's so many questions. But let's kind of move into where we left off 3 or 4 weeks ago. Remember, there's a lot of things that the church is pictured as to give us an understanding of our relationship with the Lord. For example, the church, the body, the holy priesthood, the royal priesthood, the kingdom of priests, the shepherd and his flock, and then finally the bride and the bridegroom. And so these are all. Just things that cause us to get a glimpse of our relationship with Him. Even the bride and the bridegroom is just an analogy. It's I want to call it a metaphor, but it's an analogy of our relationship with Him. And there are 4 stages of the manifestation of the bride: the formation of the bride, the preparation of the bride, the marriage of the bride, and the marriage supper. And so we have all these things going, and then the presentation of the bride after the supper is the presentation of his bride. So got a lot of things that we've noted and looked at, and we've looked at the formation of the bride, we've looked at the preparation of the bride, we looked at the marriage of the bride, marriage of the Lamb, and so we spent a lot of time on that. Let's see what we covered, major point next. Looking at the marriage supper, and so we looked at the coronation of the groom, and noted that wonderful event. And let's see. I'm just trying to get a feel of where we've been, and so we can take it up from there. The marriage takes place in heaven and brings great joy in heaven, and a lot of singing and praises in heaven. Glory and honor is given to the groom. And let's see, because came the marriage of the Lamb, that he was found or given a bride, and that's what God the Father did for Jesus Christ, as he did for Adam in the garden. The marriage and the wedding, and then we got to the marriage supper, and that's where we're looking at now. We finished up the marriage in Revelation 19 verse 7, and an amplification of the preparation of the bride, the dress of the bride, verse 7 and 8, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Fine linen is used throughout the Word of God for imputed righteousness. And so we spent some time in that regard. The place of the supper, and this is about where we're close to where we left off. The place of the supper, while the wedding involves the church, so the marriage is in heaven. Why? Because it's the home of both of them. It's a home of the bridegroom and a home of the bride. So the wedding's where the bride is from, and we're from heaven. So the marriage is in heaven, but the supper is on earth. It involves Israel. So it's on earth. The time of the supper after the second advent, after Armageddon, and after the delivery of Israel, the baptism of fire removed unbelieving Jews, baptism of fire for Gentiles, removal of unbelieving Gentiles. We're going to be getting into an interesting section of Scripture in Romans 2 this Sunday, where there is no distinction between the Jew and the Gentile in regard to the righteousness of God. Just because they are a privileged people, they have no privilege when it comes to salvation. It's by faith in Jesus Christ for them as it is for the Gentile. They keep trying to earn it by law, but that isn't going to work before God, even for the Jew. Those in attendance at the supper, presentation of the bride, and then the marriage supper, the groom, the bride, the friends of the groom, Old Testament saints, tribulational martyrs, and resurrected body will already be in the banquet hall having a ball. And friends of the bride, they have to wait outside, if you remember the analogy. Believers who survived the tribulation and alive in the second advent, waiting to enter the hall. And so this is all of this is observed by the angels. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And blessed are those invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed. And we spent some time on the blessing there. Secondly, you will be provided a magnificent wardrobe for the wedding. It won't be any of this cowboy boots and cut-off shorts and all that we wear today to weddings and marriage suppers and all. You're going to be dressed up in some fine threads. Be fine linen and bright of the glory of Christ. Thirdly, you will get to see the groom present his bride. Finally, you will be at a party to end all parties, the supper. And who is not invited? Sometimes who is omitted is often important as who's invited. It's been my experience over the years. This has caused a lot of battles sometimes. Who is not invited? You mean you're going to invite your father? I can't believe it. You mean you're going to invite this person to that? You can't invite them. And so who's not invited is often as important as who is. And then we looked at Matthew 22, 1 through 14. And studied that, and let's see, that may be right where we are. Let me see here now. Doo-doo. Nope, we've gone on beyond that. Okay, so 1 through 14, we've studied that. So let me move on beyond that. And verse 11 of that section, and we dealt with the hope of that is to come. And let's see here, I may have passed this up. Yeah, I did, didn't I? Oh, you're talking to the Lord on the phone there, I guess. yeah, I did pass up a lot here. My goodness. Let me see here where I left off. Let me see here. Revelation. Revelation 19. Yeah, Revelation 19. Here we go. I've been taking y'all through stuff that we haven't done. All right, the principle of the cross before the crown, the cleansing before marriage. Now let's go to chapter 19. And because the marriage of the Lamb has come in heaven before Jesus Christ returns to the earth with his bride, marriage and wedding. The Greek word, you know what? Let me see something here. We are not in, let's see here. 89. We are not in at this point. It's 7, 88, 89. Okay, here we go. I saw a politician years ago, and it was before some big convention, and he got his notes so filed up, and I went, "Oh Lord, please don't let that happen to me." So I usually try to get all my notes in order before then, but I didn't do it today. Yeah, that's why we were doing a quick review to get me oriented to where we are. Okay, all right, let's see, 86. All right, to answer your question, Eve, Revelation 19, 6. Creation. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lordy. Oh. All right, let me see here. If my pianist was on the ball, he'd come out and take it off the slack here. Oh. Let's see. Okay, let's see.
It had to be between 8 and 10. Uh-huh.
You guys are so right.
Meet you at the coronation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Verse 7.
Okay. I was right. Revelation 19.
Yeah. No, we knew we were 19.
Well, see, I went through Matthew, and I didn't know if this part was in the Matthew passage or if it was in the.
I think that's where we're supposed to start. Mm-hmm.
In fact, we may be beyond that now. Okay, let's just pick it up at Revelation 19 and go from there. Let's see. Okay. Verse 8, chapter 19, is the preparation of the bride. Verse 9 is the wedding supper. Wedding supper. And verse 9, come to the wedding supper. It's going to be a party to end all parties. It's going to be a grand time. I feel sorry for the Southern Baptists who don't drink wine. It's going to have some of the finest wine that's ever been in the history of mankind. We'll be at this this wedding supper. So verse 9, and he said to me, write. John is to write the book of Revelation. Blessed, due to receiving the great inner happiness at being at this wedding supper, are those who are invited to the marriage. And the Greek word, the word to supper, to the supper of the marriage of the Lamb. So the marriage has already taken place in heaven. The supper will be taking place on earth. The difference here in verse 7, in verse 7, just the Greek word for marriage, gamas. But here in verse 9, we have a word for marriage and supper. So here in verse 9, we have the marriage and supper mentioned specifically. Diphnon is a supper banquet, plus the word for the marriage. And so we have a marriage supper. And after this, and only reference to the supper to let us not go beyond that we have here given to us. So this is a marriage supper. And this is where we take up, one, the place of the supper. While the wedding involves the church, so the marriage is in heaven. The marriage supper involves Israel in two major aspects. Therefore, the supper takes place on earth. The alternative view, supper is in heaven after the wedding, with just the church there, and another great ball on earth for the presentation of the bride. Just letting you know, that's one of those things that can be supported. But this limits the guest if it's in heaven. That would limit the guest. Live believers can't be there, so it limits the guest, and has other problems as to timing. Therefore, the wedding supper is on earth. So that's the place. Time of the supper, after the second advent, after Armageddon, because he's going to defeat his enemy and then present his bride to all the people that will be there. So the time of the supper, after the rapture, after the wedding, has taken place in heaven, and he comes to earth, defeats the enemy, so it's after Armageddon, after the delivery of Israel, after the baptism of fire, that's removal of all unbelieving Gentiles, baptism of fire, removal of all unbelieving Jews from the earth, and the coronation of the King, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will be crowned the Son of David, final fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, and then he presents his bride. So that gives you an ideal of time of the supper. All of those things have to take place because it's going to be a big party, and there isn't a place for a big party before the Battle of Armageddon and before the baptism of fire. You don't want to have that mixed up. So then you have all of that. Then you have him crowned at the great coronation as king of the Jews from the crown of David. So this is the final fulfillment of the Davidic covenant with Jesus Christ ruling. Okay, 3. Those in attendance at the presentation of the bride and the marriage supper. The groom, the bride, friends of the groom, Old Testament saints, and tribulational martyrs who are now in the resurrected body. These will already be in the banquet hall having a wonderful time. 4, friends of the bride. The tribulational believers who survived the tribulation, alive at the second advent, waiting to enter the hall. They're outside the hall, waiting to enter the hall. So the friends of the bride, tribulational saints who survived the tribulation, and they were there at the second advent of Christ. And then 5, observing all elect angels. Observing of all elect angels. Don't know why the fallen angels, because they have been removed with Satan. So the elect angels can't be here. Satan isn't going to be here. They're all incarcerated. So the only angels that can watch are the elect angels. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, now we come to tension and trouble. Almost every wedding has its problems associated with people. And a lot of it comes with those invited and those who are not invited. That great invitation list. And there's always people hurt. Well, I wasn't invited, so you know that's bad. And why'd you invite them? Got people who are way far away; they can't get there. This is just I've had more fun in weddings over my 30 plus years in the ministry with all these kinds of problems, and of who's invited and not. I remember one wedding I did. The mother and father were going to the church, and both were believers. The son was theirs, and I knew him, but I didn't know the bride. So I had this was my first time to deal with all the sets of parents, because both parents had divorced and remarried. And so I thought, now I haven't read how I'm supposed to seat everybody. So what I did, on the left, I seated on the first row there, I seated the father, the ex-father, and his bride, and then behind there, over here, I seated the mother and her new husband, and then back here, the father and his new wife, and all of this. Well, the mother here turns around and saw that I was seating the new wife, and I mean loudly. She said, "You're not going to seat that female dog," but she didn't say that. And loud. Well, her new husband, I mean, I wanted to laugh. I did. I wanted to laugh. Boy, he took her by the arm. She didn't say a word. She's turned around and shut up. I went, "Whoa!" I mean, he didn't even say anything. He didn't say, "Be quiet." He didn't say, "Shh." He just... And boy, she turned around, and I guess she used that bit. And but that was the first time, and after that it went more smooth, because how am I going to seat all these different people that are differently married? So I figured it out, and still don't know if that was the etiquette way to... Yes, I do. I looked it up, and that was the etiquette way, so I was led by the Spirit and struck home. Okay, so this invitation list is to the wedding supper, where the bride will be presented. If we invite your brother, he will get into a fight with my mother. If we invite my father, he will bring his new wife, and they will start a fight with your family. If we invite him, my mother is not going to show up. Well, if my mother doesn't come, then I won't be there either. And I've heard nearly all of this stuff in dealing with it. I don't want to see your old boyfriend there. I don't care if you were not lovers. He is just as important to you. And so then they get into a fight about that. I don't care if he was just a handyman. He was too handy. And so who is invited can cause a great deal of problems. And so if you are a relative or friend, even a parent, remember, it's not your wedding. It's not your wedding. Put your own personal issues aside or stay away. It's that simple to me. It's not your wedding. It's not the parents' wedding. It's not the mother's wedding. It's not his mother's wedding. It's not anyone. It's their wedding. I went to do a wedding out of state. And I got there, and I knew the bride. Didn't know the groom, but I knew the bride. And there was just something wrong when I got off the plane. And I said, we talked a while and got to the hotel. And I said, "There's something's wrong." And boy, she just started crying. And his mother, the groom's mother, had taken over. She had picked out the songs. She had picked out everything. And he didn't either, because I talked to him. They didn't want some of these songs. They didn't want this or that. And I said, I looked at him and I said, "Are you sure now?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, I'm taking over now. Y'all go decide what you want, and you let me know what you want." So, got there outside of the church and met with them, and I said, what do you want? So they gave it, and I walked in this door over here, and up runs this lady, and she says, you're the pastor? And I said, yes, I am, Pastor. I said, well, now I want to tell you how I've worked things out. And I said, no, ma'am. I'm here now. I'm in charge. It will be done my way. Yeah, but no, it's going to be done my way. Boy, I mean, she turned around and went straight to the mother of the groom. Boy, I mean, she just beat. And the mother of the groom, you could see the snarl, but she didn't come up to me. And I got up and I said, this is how we are. You can forget they had a program with all this stuff. I said, we're not going to pass out those programs. I mean, they had the goofiest stuff in there. We're not going to pass those out. Bride and groom agreed. I said, I'll announce what we're going to do. We will have the congregation sing a song. I think that's nice. But we will pick it out and we will announce it. Boy, his mother was about to die. And that lady that they had paid all that money to run things, what was so funny was after the wedding rehearsal, the big dinner, the banquet that night, after the rehearsal, they had her and I at the same table. I felt so sorry for her. I'm sure she had indigestion after that meal. But so this wedding list can get quite involved. If you're the one getting married, remember that it is your wedding, not your parents, not your friends, not some wedding planner. It's your wedding. And I've seen so many people stressed out over a wonderful event. Over a wonderful event, a marriage. And boy, either the bride, the groom, or both of them, or mothers, or somebody was stressed out. And it's a wonderful event. Well, at this wedding, no one's going to be stressed out. I don't know who's going to do the serving. The Bible doesn't tell us. But there's going to be no one stressed out at this one. So, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, not to the wedding, but to the supper. The marriage banquet, be blessed. It is really wonderful to be invited to this banquet. It's going to be the most wonderful, glamorous, exciting banquet in all history. It's going to be fantastic. So, but not everyone's going to be invited. And not everyone invited will come. Not everyone who receives an invitation will come to this wedding supper. To your wedding supper with Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who are invited. Why? Why are they blessed? First, because it means they're saved forever. If you have a nameplate at the table at this wedding, you are saved forever. To come to this wedding supper, you must be saved. You must believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why you're invited. Secondly, you will be provided magnificent wardrobe. That's important. Going to be provided a magnificent wardrobe for this wedding. Got to have this wardrobe on to be at this wedding. That's going to be very important. Thirdly, you will get to see the groom present his bride. And finally, you will be at the party to end all parties. Okay, who's not invited? Sometimes who is admitted is often as important as who's invited. Well, we start off right off. Satan is not invited. Satan is not invited. He is not invited to either the wedding in heaven or the coronation of the king or the wedding supper. He's just not invited. But you are invited. Every one of you will be there as a bride. But fallen angels will not be there. All unbelievers through history will not be invited. They're going to miss this glamorous event. And he said to me, these are true words of God. This is the faithfulness of God. Now let's turn to Matthew 22. Now we're on the ball. Matthew 22. I'll tell you what it is. It is really a challenge to get Matthew in proper arrangement with Revelation. And that there's a debate on where things fit for Matthew. But Matthew 22 is going to be relatively simple. Parable of rejection of Jesus Christ by Israel during his earthly ministry. and its continuation, their rejection, continuation through the tribulation. One of the great problems of rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior is that you also reject all the wonderful events and privileges and experiences of being in Jesus Christ. People, that just is motivation enough to believe in Christ so you don't miss out on all the wonderful, fun events. Not only in, well, not to that, because then you're going to go to the lake of fire, but whether this is one of the great problems of rejecting Jesus Christ, all these wonderful events. Being with Christ is absolutely exciting in time and in eternity. If a person knows how to walk with Christ and the filling of the Spirit in time, it makes life dramatic. It makes life dynamic. Dynamic means change. You have adversity, suffering. You have wonderful things. Just so many things is to be in Jesus Christ. Exciting life to live the Spirit-filled life. To enjoy the personal and dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. When people reject Jesus Christ, they cut themselves out of a fantastic life here on earth. And then they were going to cut themselves off from these great events and then in eternity from being with Christ. So when you as believers choose to live the self-centered life outside of the plan of God, you miss out. Miss out on a multitude of experiences that you would otherwise have and carry in your soul into eternity. I'm talking about believers right here on earth who do not want to walk by the Spirit-filled life by faith. You just miss out on all the inner peace and inner joy no matter what's going on in life. No matter what's happening in life. Talked with Terry and talked with Judith. And Terry's mother went home to be with the Lord. Judith's mother and dad beat up here. But to see their soul stable. Because they know. Judith knows that while it's hard to understand why these things happen, she knows who's in control. And we don't know how it's going to work together for all for good, those who love him, but we are confident that it will. And she's confident that it will. So this is the things that the believer misses out on by not walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. And so you cheat yourself out of wonderful things for a mesh of pottage as a believer. That's what you take up in life. If you're religious, it's a mesh of pottage. If you're sinful, just living your own life, it's a mesh of pottage. It just doesn't matter. If you're not walking with Christ, you're cheating yourself out of a wonderful life. So, but the one who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior, they miss out on eternity and the wonderful events of eternity. And so Jesus Christ uses a familiar setting in Matthew 22, that to introduce the truths of the wedding procedure and customs of this time. Now, the wedding feast was a great banquet to which, in the case of our study, everyone was invited. Some cases, a wedding actually took place when the groom picked up the bride. That's when they're married. When he gets to the house, she comes out, and they ride off in his little chariot. Boom, they're married. So different societies have different customs of when what makes the people married. And so he picked up the bride from her father and mother. They were married. So that was it. Now, let's see. The message would be sent out in plenty of time, 12 months, so that everyone invited could have time to prepare for the feast. It's a big deal. It isn't just a couple hours. It's a big deal. And by prepared, these feasts would last for days, these feasts that we're going to be looking at. Weeks sometime last a long time. And I think that's really wonderful myself, but that's the way it goes. Okay, Matthew 22, verse 1. Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king, Jesus Christ, who gave a wedding feast. Well, excuse me, that's God the Father. God the Father is the king. Who gave a wedding feast for his son. That's Jesus Christ. All right, let's take a few look at a few things quickly. Wedding feast. This is a wedding supper on earth. It's just a parable. He's given an analogy. So the wedding feast is a wedding supper on earth. These are friends of the groom. Therefore, the bride is not an issue and not mentioned. Some friends do not like or approve of the person their friend chooses to marry. This is, of course, none of your prerogative, none of your business. But don't expect that person to deny their chosen spouse just because you don't think they ought to marry them. Okay, verse 3. He sent out his slaves. Okay, these are his servants. Refer to all Old Testament believers. Patriarchs, priests, prophets of Israel, to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast. The invitation to the wedding feast begins by believing in the groom, Jesus Christ. This invitation is a call to salvation. So this is a call to salvation. The invitation, it's called to salvation. And they were not willing to come. Uh-oh. Rejection of the Messiah. The emphasis here is on the free will of man to choose to believe in the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, or not. It's a faith decision. I prefer a faith decision than a volitional decision. It's a faith decision. This has gone on for centuries. Jesus, the Jews rejected the Messiah. Notice the behavior of God. How God regards the Jews. The Jews' friends to be invited to his son's wedding feast. Yet they continue to reject him, and he continues to invite. That's the grace of God. Long suffering of his love. Verse 4, again, he sent out other servants saying, this is a reference to John the Baptist. This is a reference to the Jews, to the disciples at the time of Christ. Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen. So this is the menu. Here's your menu. I have prepared for dinner my oxen, fatted livestock, are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Wow. Going to be meat. I love that. We're going to eat meat. Lots of meat. Red meat. I won't mind medium rare. So we're going to have. So this is beautiful. We have the menu. So come to the wedding feast. This verse reveals we are dealing with a feast, a supper, not the wedding. This is the feast, the supper. Same invitation of salvation with all its benefits. Again, behavior of this king, another ruler, Satan, would have become furious with rejection, but not God. In other words, Satan would be furious if no one came. God is not furious. He is gracious, and he sends out more and more invitations. So what I'm saying is that if Satan was doing this, he said, and you didn't want to come, he'd become furious. God just says, okay, I'll send you another invitation. I'll send you another invitation. So he keeps sending out invitations. Also note that everything is provided and prepared. That's grace of God. John the Baptist announced that the kingdom was at hand. And then he made every effort to make this wedding feast attractive. And remember that it is your wedding as well, people. This is the wedding of the church. Yours as the bride, Jesus Christ as the groom. And I want you to come to my wedding party is what he's saying. So this is what he's given. And this isn't one of those poor things where, look, I'd like you to come, but we don't have much money. We're going to have some bologna sandwiches, and we're going to have Red Ripple. But if you want to come, I'd love to have you. But that's not here. This is going to be done up first class. And I want to say a word about that. I've seen, not so much to you, but to people on the internet, I've seen people spend way too much money on the wedding feast. Just way too much. The dinner before the night after, or the night of the rehearsal, and then for the wedding. I just too much money, and you just don't want to do that. Don't want to put yourself in debt. Now, if you got money galore, then fine. But I've seen people put themselves in debt for that, for this type of thing. And I'll say, listen, I'll have some bologna sandwiches, but you got to BYOB, and if you want to come to this thing, but not here. This is going to be an elaborate supper feast, oxen, fatted livestock, and I like this. Jesus Christ is a meat eater, and I like that. I'm so glad this does not say vegetables will be prepared, and vegetables may be included, but under the phrase everything is ready. That'd be the entree, the salad, the soups, the main course, and probably some ice cream and some chocolate. All that you can eat will be tables with all of that around, and that'll be really good. Come to the wedding feast, offer of salvation to all and all of its benefits. It's amazing how many people do not believe in Jesus Christ is worthy for their faith, which means they cut themselves off of many blessings like attending this great wedding supper. Okay, verse 5. But they paid no attention to the gospel appeal and went their own way, one to his own farm and another to his business. And I want you to note here how gracious the Lord is. It didn't say they went their own way in sin. They would prefer to be doing something else. No. One to the farm, that's work, but modified, we got to do it. Well, other than to his business, whatever his business was. They didn't reject him to have their own fun, just he was not important enough in their life to believe in him. One of the saddest conditions in life is to pay no attention to the call of Christ. It's one of the saddest things, probably the saddest thing that a person can do is pay no attention. This is just like so many today. They just don't want to pay attention to the gospel. And even believers in the world, in the church, they just don't have time for the Lord. There are a lot of believers like that. Then you have, on the other hand, those that understand God in a totally horrible way, the charismatics and religious people and all that. Just is amazing how we'd have no time for him. Okay, notice the two progressive actions. First, paid no attention, followed by the resultant action, went their way. First of all, they reject. And what happens when you reject? You got to fill up your life some other way. Not sin, necessarily. Just you got to do other things now. Went their own way. Aorist active participle. To be unconcerned. Pay no attention. Not care about something. Just don't have time to be bothered with the gospel. So with their mental attitude, they just preoccupied with themselves and not with what is going on. Simply do not want to be bothered with Jesus Christ in their life. And this describes many believers today. It's not just unbelievers, many believers who just are too busy to come to the local church, come to Bible class, listen to the Word of God being taught. The aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. What's the main verb? Went away. First, they did not care about Jesus Christ and the kingdom, and they did not care, and now it comes the action. They went their own way. So the present active participle, went away, precedes the action of the main verb. Main verb, they went away. All right. By the way, it is one thing to be too busy to attend someone's party, but quite another to be too busy for Bible class. And that's just my opinion since I was a child. And when I grew up, I would read in the bulletin the deacons were meeting, and I wonder, it's at the church, why can't I go? And every time anything, the women were getting together, why can't I go? And I don't remember that, but my mother, it was so funny. I just wanted to go to everything. I had a good friend who was a believer and in the momentum, but he said, well, Herman, you were just religious. You just wanted to be at everything. And so they went their own way. Okay, now we come to very important reasons for refusing to believe in Jesus Christ. His own field. His own field. They say no to just believing in Jesus Christ and prefer to rely on their own works. Do you see that? They want to go to their work, in the field, their business. What does that tell you? They're going to work on their own. They're going to work to get their own way to heaven so that their own field represents their own work. So rather than believe in Jesus Christ and come to Him by faith, they prefer to rely on their works. They would rather work and work, do and do, and offer God their works of the field, like Cain did, rather than just relax and enjoy a big party. Just don't understand those kind of people even in life. But that's the way some are. So this is a guy who would rather go sweat in his field, go to his work, than go to the party. This is one who would rather work than believe in Jesus Christ by faith alone and come to this great party. Another to his own business. Note in both of these, his own. His field. His business. Again, man is so impressed with his own works, with what he does for blessings from God. Making wealth, promotion, self-exhortation. It takes time to go to the wedding and the wedding party. It takes time when I could be doing something from God. Can you just do self-righteous people? I can't do that. I got to go work for the Lord. I got to go do this and that. I don't want to go to the Lord's party. I don't want to come. I want to earn my way to Him. I want Him to know how much I care. I'm going to go work my business, give Him money, give Him my work, just like Cain did. So another to his business, his field, his business, making wealth, promoting self, providing for self. I'm going to earn my own salvation. So this is this group. If he takes time off, it is not going to be to go to a wedding. He's got to be out doing the Lord's work. It's amazing how busy so many people are, including believers. They don't have time to come to Bible class. Don't have time to use their spiritual gifts in the local assembly. Too busy working for material things rather than the spiritual. And these are a great number of believers like this, and just too busy for Christ to worship Christ and allow Christ in their life. And that's why they think they're so wonderful. Oh, we're doing this for the Lord. We're doing this for the Lord. No, He wants you to enjoy what He gives. Enjoy what He serves. So, the unbeliever does not consider Jesus Christ worthy of his faith. Believer does not consider Jesus Christ worthy of their life. So the unbeliever, he's not worthy of my faith. The believer, he's not worthy of my life. I got to live my own life. So your field, your business, whatever it is, not even to be compared with what you're missing out on in Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 6 describes another class of rejection. Hostile, violence, and the rest seized those servants and mistreated them and killed them, like John the Baptist, beheaded. If you go negative, a simple no is sufficient. But if you become angry, you have to reject and murder. And that describes a lot of people in history. And it's going to describe, is describing a lot of people, what's going on in the world today. We don't want to hear about Jesus. We don't want His Bible. We don't want a manger scene. And we detest it. And we're going to do whatever we can to stop it. And that's why in the tribulation, they've got to kill Christians. Get rid of Christians. Because every time there's a Christian, that's a reminder, I'm not believing in their God, in their Savior. So the best thing to do is just get that out. Put it in darkness. 7. Response of the King, God the Father. Response of God the Father. So I think this is a good place. I think it's a good place to start the response next Tuesday evening, and we kind of got our momentum going now. So next Tuesday evening, we will start with the response of the King in this. And you might read it and see if you can see some things in there yourself. So this is where we'll begin. Any questions up to this point? All right, let's close in a word of prayer then. Heavenly Father, quite frankly, we rejoice that we're going to be invited to this wedding. We are invited to this wedding. We're invited to the wedding supper. We anticipate this. It may be that we have to die. We may be raptured tomorrow. We may have to wait 100 more years. But we know we're invited to this great event, and that's exciting. That's fun. To know that this great banquet we're going to be attending. We're going to sit with the Lord. We're all going to participate in the food and the drink of this wonderful banquet. Father, just thank you so much for telling us these things. It takes away the sting of death. It takes away the uncertainty of death, what happens when we die. It just gives us great joy. Anticipation. Boy, I just want to go ahead and die and get the rapture going. Get the tribulation over with so we can hit this party. What an awesome God you are, Father, to give to us this information, this joy that we can anticipate, a wonderful meal prepared, sitting with our Savior. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.